Welcome back to Through the Word. Chris Langham here with Ecclesiastes 7. As our focus changes, Solomon continues his quest to find out what is worthwhile in life, but moves now from work and toil to wisdom and folly. In verse 25, he says, "So I turned my mind to understand, to investigate, and to search out wisdom and the scheme of things, and to understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly." I love it. Wickedness is stupid. Folly is madness. So why do people do it? Solomon sets out to investigate wisdom and the scheme of things, and he puts his answers into sayings. So let's dig in at verse 1. "A good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth." I like this one. A good name. That's your reputation. When people hear your name, what comes to mind? A good name is better than fine perfume. That means it's better to be known for being good than smelling good. And the day of death, better than the day of birth. See, on the day of birth, a person's life and character is all wishful thinking, like that fine perfume. But on the day of death, character has been established. Your works tell your story. Verse 2. "It is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart." In our great search for wisdom, Solomon says there is more to be learned at a funeral than a birthday party, because death is our destiny. Nobody escapes, and the living should take it to heart. The sobering reality of death will shape much of Solomon's thinking here in Ecclesiastes, but our response to it will depend very much on our perspective of what happens after death. And yet, the first step to wisdom is to face the simple truth that we will die. Verse 3. "Frustration is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart." The word frustration there also means grief or sorrow, and it's good for us. Remember the Pixar movie, Inside Out? There are lessons that only sadness can teach. It's a necessary emotion for balanced mental health. In verse 4, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure." Allow yourself to mourn. Go to the funeral, spend time at the cemetery, and let God teach you the lessons of life and death. Foolish is the heart that refuses to experience grief. Verse 5. "It is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than listen to the song of fools." Solomon is clearly unimpressed by fools. But what makes fools so foolish? He finds three causes, beginning in verse 7. "Extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart." So greed is cause number 1. Then verse 8. "The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride." So pride and impatience also make you foolish. The wise man is patient and waits to see how things work out before judging. Then verse 9. "Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools." So number 3 is anger. Your temper makes you do dumb things, hurting you and the ones you love most. Then in verse 10, Solomon reflects, "Do not say, 'Why were the old days better than these?' For it is not wise to ask such questions. It is foolish to live in the past or resent the present. God has a purpose for today, whatever season of life it might be. One of the greatest decisions of my own life came when I was just a teenager. I noticed that everyone my age wanted to be older, but everyone older wanted to be younger. What good is that? So I decided every season of life must have a purpose and a beauty all its own. So I'm going to live today and find the beauty of this season. That philosophy has served me well. And wisdom does that. It improves life. Look at verse 11. "Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun." So wisdom is good for you. Solomon calls it a shelter. It protects you from harm. And he admits money is also a shelter. But wisdom has an advantage. It preserves those who have it. So while money protects from outside harm, wisdom preserves the person inside. And I love verse 13. "Consider what God has done. who can straighten what he has made crooked? Wow, God made some things crooked. That doesn't mean evil, and it doesn't mean bent in shape. It just means that some things aren't all neat and linear the way we might think they should be. And God made them that way. And Solomon says, consider, take it to heart. Maybe God's plan isn't an easy road and a straight path to success. Verse 14, when times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. That reality is crucial to wisdom. The good times are a gift. Enjoy God's goodness. But in the bad times, recognize that God is unchanged. He is still good, and he has a purpose for every time. Next, Solomon moves on to the righteous and the wicked. He laments that sometimes the righteous die, while the wicked live long. Tough truth. So Solomon suggests some balance. Verse 16, do not be over-righteous, neither be over-wise. Why destroy yourself? There is danger in extremes. Righteousness is good, but over-righteous is usually someone self-righteous, adding to God's rules and judgmental of others. And wisdom is good, but over-wise is usually arrogant. Godly wisdom is humble. Of course, don't go the opposite direction. In verse 17, do not be over-wicked, and do not be a fool. Why die before your time? It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. So legalism and liberalism are both bad. Balance is the key, and the fear of God will keep you there. And in verse 20, a crucial observation. Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. A reality check here. Apart from God's help, you and I are not righteous. Righteous means right with God, living right and having a right standing before him. And we don't, not on our own. That truth is foundational to the gospel. That's why over-righteous doesn't work. It's not in you. So what do we do? Well, first off, Solomon says, don't pay attention when people say bad stuff about you, because you've done it to others. We're all sinners. Let it go. But then Solomon doubles down in verse 23. I am determined to be wise, but this was beyond me. Watch that. Righteousness and wisdom are good, but they're beyond me. I can't do it. And it's not God's fault. In verse 29, Solomon says, this only have I found. God created mankind upright, but they have gone in search of many schemes. And once again, we need the rest of the Bible to solve this problem. Solomon is stuck here, under the sun. And here, left to our own devices, we're hopeless. Try all you want, overdo it even. But your self-made wisdom and righteousness will either leave you feeling arrogant when you succeed or guilty when you fail. So God offers a better plan. Rather than let us climb our way to God, he came down to us. Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth and lived righteous. I think there may be a hint of that here in verse 28, as Solomon mentions one upright man among a thousand. And Jesus, the only good man, gave his righteous life and took the punishment for our sinful one, so that we could be made righteous by faith. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our wisdom. By his power, we live right and we are right with God. And going back to the house of mourning and grief, Jesus gives us a new perspective. Solomon would say, life is short, seize the day, squeeze every drop of life while you have it. But in Christ, we have a hope for life beyond. This life is still short, and we still seize the day, but for a very different purpose, not to spend it, but to invest it. Read Ecclesiastes 7, and I'll meet you back here next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.